Good morning, and welcome to Unity Church. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, the insert in your order of service, which seeks to inform you of activities occurring in the coming weeks and act as a roadmap to deeper involvement here at Unity. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall and the reception for our new members in the courtyard. There you can see new friends and meet some new ones. Peruse the excellent book stall and visit the many information tables there. If you are interested in receiving more information about the church or in becoming a member, we ask that you please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. Next week, Katie Lawson will address the seventh day as a dimension in our Sabbath series. It will be Katie's last Sunday with us as the Hallman intern, and following the service, we will celebrate her year with us. Brian Newhouse and I would like to greet you at the conclusion of the service at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
How many emails landed on your inbox this week? How often did your phones, all of your phones, ring? How many times did a child call your name with a need that only you could meet? And did this ever happen at 3 a.m.? With sleep returning, of course, just before the alarm clock called you to another day. Or did no one call, no one write, no one ask a thing of you, which made the hours of the week pass quiet and heavy with loneliness? Just a few questions on a beautiful Sabbath morning. And one more. How are you? Come, let us worship together. Please join me in unison reading number 725 in the back of the hymnal, the simplest of sacraments. Simply to be and to let things be as they speak wordlessly from the mystery of what they are. Simply to say a silent yes to the hillside flowers, to the trees we walk under, to pass from one person to another a morsel of bread, an answering yes. This is the simplest, the quietest of sacraments. Thank you.
Every Sunday when we gather for worship, we pause for a few moments to hold in the embrace of this loving community those whose unfolding life stories are particularly rich with joy or heavy with sorrow. I'll begin this sharing, and following my words, you are invited to offer the names of those you are holding in your heart and bring into the sanctity of this sacred hour. We hold in our prayers all those who live with grief over the loss of a loved one. This week, we especially call to mind Deb Hoffman, whose nephew David Peters, at age 15, died in Marshall over the weekend in a dirt bike accident. Deb has joined her family for the funeral and to gather to grieve. We hold in our thoughts and prayers all those people who are recovering from recent illnesses, injuries, and health problems. We hold Bob Brown in our prayers. Bob is in Fairview, Riverside, recovering from a heart attack he suffered on Friday. Bob is a regular attender of our Wellspring Wednesday program. And we hold Barbara Giesert in our prayers. Barbara is currently staying at the Shalom Home in Roseville. We send our thoughts and prayers to those recovering from recent surgeries. We continue to hold Pat Argyros in our hearts as she recovers from her foot surgery at home. We remember those people struggling with disease and chronic illness. We especially hold Glenisha Moore in our prayers as she lives with cancer, and to Annie Keeler and her family as they navigate through Annie's ALS. As we celebrate the whole cycle of life with the joy and sorrow that is woven within it, we also celebrate the thresholds in people's lives. We celebrate graduations occurring all over the country that mark important thresholds for countless individuals. We especially hold former intern Bill Neely, who graduates from Meadville Lombard before moving to Memphis to assume his new ministry there in the fall. We send our affection and good wishes to the members of Unity traveling home from Transylvania today. Rob preached in St. Peter this morning. They had a good meal and then they left the village. We also send our good wishes to the Unity group camping together this weekend. May it be the first of many such experiences. And we celebrate the wedding of Elizabeth Alexander and Steve Harper, who were married here yesterday afternoon. We hold in our thoughts and prayers our sisters and brothers around the globe suffering from poverty of spirit, of possibility, those whose lives are filled with uncertainty due to violence, hardship, and war. May we live to see a day when their lives are filled with peace and the promise of abiding freedom. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or bring into the embrace of this caring community. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for this tapestry we weave together. And now will you join me in a moment of meditation and prayer? O Eternal Spirit, you who we call by many names, and yet can never be fully named and known, you who we approach by many different paths, through action, through silence, through our breath, through our love and affection. Be with us as we seek to hold all that is holy in our lives. Be with us as we open our hearts to the beauty and grace that is present in this life. As we hold our weary lives, as we pause from the busyness, as we think of those things that are broken in need of healing. May we also know and experience the beauty and the bounty of this life, this sweet life. May it be so, and amen. Thank you, Jan. Good morning. We celebrate in-gatherings of new members as part of our regular Sunday morning services every 2 months during the church year. Actually, starting in the fall, we'll occasionally celebrate them in the afternoon. Please contact me, Laura Schlatter, here on Sunday or at the church office during the week if you would like to participate in an in-gathering in the future, or if you would like more information about membership, or if you're already a member, but you would like to know how to be more connected to the smaller communities who gather here. To be a member of Unity Church is to be engaged in a free and inclusive religious community that encourages lives of integrity, service, and joy. To be a member of Unity Church is to have a deeply meaningful, transforming religious experience, to feel connected with your religious community, and to live out your liberal religious values in the world. The people who will join me and Jan and Brian in the chancel in a moment have all signed the membership book this morning. Those of you who are already members, take a look at these new members, see who they are, remember them, and welcome them, not only this morning, but in weeks to come, in the pews, in coffee hour, and wherever you may see them. We will be greeting them at a reception in the courtyard after the service this morning. Please feel free to come by. And now please join me in welcoming the newest members of Unity Church who have signed the membership book this morning. Bob Boucher, Kelly Boucher, Suzanne Burr, Taylor Burr, Fred Libsay, Bill Randall, Christy Randall, Kevin Roberg Perez, Sherry Roberg Perez, Dallas Robertson, Lisa Robertson, Charles Polly, Lisa Renard Polly, Janet Taterka, Betsy Rote, Craig Rote, Orlina Iverson, and Neely Crane Smith. And two others who have signed the membership book since the last in-gathering are Jean Olson and Paula Schumacher. And now, will you stand as you are able and join me and the new members in reading the responsive reading for the in-gathering of new members in your order of service? We, the members of Unity Church Unitarian, welcome you and gratefully acknowledge your choice to join with us in our continuing religious life.
I become a member of this church, aware of the privileges and responsibilities of membership, and with a deep feeling that I have come home this day.
Ours is a faith which reveres the past, envisions the future, and lives with passion in this moment, even as brought us to this day, so we celebrate your newly found commitment.
Congratulations. Welcome.
We share our many contributions and talents with our time, with our care, with our financial contributions. Will the ushers please come forward? To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate our lives and our many offerings. Thank you. Thank you.
In the middle of a life that's as complicated as everyone else's, struggling for balance, juggling time, the mantle clock that was my grandfather's has stopped at 9:20. We haven't had time to get it fixed. The brass pendulum is still. The chimes don't ring. One day you look out the window, green summer, and the next, the leaves have already fallen, and a gray sky lowers the horizon. Our children almost grown, our parents gone, it happened all so fast. Each day we must learn again how to love between morning's quick coffee and evening's slow return. Steam from a pot of soup rises, mixing with the yeasty smell of baking bread. Our bodies twine, and the big black dog pushes his head between. His tail is a metronome, three quarters time. We'll never get there. Time is always ahead of us, running down the beach, urging us on faster, faster. But sometimes we take off our watches. Sometimes we lie in the hammock, caught between the mesh of rope and a net of stars, suspended, tangled up in love, running out of time. You join me with your insert, or actually the order of service here. I'd like to teach you a lovely tune and ancient words in Latin. There's one tricky word that actually we have no direct translation for, but our resident expert Duncan tells me that it captures several words, and I'll try to give you a sense of that. So if you'd repeat after me the Latin. Ubi caritas?
Ubi caritas.
Caritas is the word that means has some aspects of charity, of care, of taking responsibility for the life of someone else. It's all mixed together in that one beautiful word, caritas. So, ubi caritas et amor,
et amor.
And love. So this so far means everywhere that charity or care and love are, Deus ibi est.
Deus ibi est.
There is God. And it goes like this.
Ubi caritas et amor, ubi caritas Deus ibi est.
Try it with me.
Ubi caritas et amor, ubi caritas Deus ibi est.
Let's repeat it two more times, please.
Ubi caritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi est. Ubi
Jim Moore, St. Paul poet. If I stood like this each evening near nightfall, stood silent in June next to this olive tree, if I could breathe in time to its own breathing, to the in of fading light, the out of oncoming darkness, what fear could death then hold for me?
Will by Marcia Falk. Three generations back, my family had only to light a candle, and the world parted. Today, Friday afternoon, I disconnect clocks and phones. When night fills my house with passages, I begin saving my life. When Oliver Wendell Holmes was asked why he went to church, he replied that he had a plant called reverence, which needed watering each week. He watered this plant by attending the local Unitarian church. I water a plant called reverence every morning by getting up early, sometimes ungodly early, and engaging in intentional devotional practices. I water a plant called reverence in a communal fashion most every Sunday in the company of this congregation. We end the formal church year this June by examining the many dimensions of Sabbath. This morning, I will turn my attention to personal Sabbath, Sabbath moments, those times during the day that we set aside to take a breath, to take a moment to rest, to listen, to remember, to integrate, to pay attention and be present. Why is a personal Sabbath or a spiritual daily practice so vitally important? Why do Rob and I seem to talk about it endlessly and always? Why do we get up so early each day? Why do we willingly, at least most mornings, forego precious sleep in order to run through the same routine day after day? The practice of this daily routine brings my life back into alignment. Does this mean that every day I emerge from my time of contemplation, prayer, and movement with it all worked out? Yes. Not. Some days my journal is nothing more than a lament of all the things I need to do. On those days, my journal looks disgustingly like my to-do list in my date book that greets me when I arrive at the desk at church, which I actually can find. It's amazing. But I work to get beyond that, to look and listen to the deeper issues in your life and in mine. Wayne Mueller has written an important book on this subject entitled Sabbath. He writes, "Sabbath is more than the absence of work. It is the presence of something that arises when we consecrate a period of time to listen to what is most deeply true. Consecrated time is different than regular time, or as the Greeks called it, chronos, because of the intentions we bring to it. It's a time to listen to what is most deeply true in our lives, in all its potential complexity, ambiguity, pain, and terrible beauty. It is time consecrated with our attention, mindfulness, honoring those quiet forces of grace or spirit that sustain and heal us. This consecrated time becomes what the Greeks called kairos, time out of time, another world within this world, a time full of possibilities, unlimited. These possibilities exist because we pause, we pay attention, we rest. This time of year, I begin each morning practicing a yoga developed by our dear friend, Douglas Fir Wilson. It's called Slotha Yoga. The goal of Slotha Yoga is simply this: don't get out of bed. And when you have flannel sheets in the winter, it's really delicious. Feel the sheets. Remember your dreams, even the ugly ones. If you sleep with somebody, look over at them. Stay in bed. Rest some more. Look out your bedroom window if you have one. Wake slowly. Time to get up. No, honey, I'm developing the new spiritual practice I learned about in church. Feel the morning emerging in your life. Breathe deeply, more than once. Slotha yoga. A form of yoga anyone can practice, even you. Daily Sabbath time provides a rhythm between work and rest. We are so busy in our daily lives, taking time for contemplation can be challenging at best. Thomas Jefferson suggested that human life and liberty were intimately entwined with the pursuit of happiness. Instead, as we all know, life has become a maelstrom in which speed and accomplishment, consumption and productivity have become the most valued of human commodities. We pause to restore a sense of balance and perspective. We rest to put our business in perspective. The Chinese character, the two characters for busy, are heart and killing. We pause to save our hearts and perhaps our very lives. In every spiritual teaching, in every world religions, agree that life must not just make us tired. It should be a source of happiness and contentment. And joy and happiness only seem to grow when we have time to notice and appreciate. Buddha used to frequently end his talks with the phrase, "May you live a happy life." Happiness and joy are the fruits of a well-lived life. And when we will When we stop is when we can allow that well-lived life to unfold. When we act from a place of rest, of cultivated restoration, we are more capable of cultivating what the Buddhists call right understanding, right action, right effort, right relationship. Taking time each day provides time to listen to the deeper voices that speak to our essence. Between writing in my journal each morning and entering into contemplative prayer, I look around at all my surroundings. During the warmer months, when it is above 40 degrees, I go outside. During the colder and darker months, Rob and I sit in our sun porch covered with green plants. I take time to notice, to breathe. I look around. I notice not only the lush and the beautiful, but the warm, the tired, the dying, and sick. Most every day I take time to write a brief poem describing an object that I have chosen. And this encourages a sense of kinship with all that surrounds me. And it encourages my heart to open in gratitude, which is one of the fruits of why I do what I do. Our willingness to open our hearts in contemplation, prayer, and meditation depends on what we believe we will find there. In these times of quiet, when we have found a way to quiet the monkey mind that chatters endlessly, we come face to face with the essence of life. We find the goodness, and we find the dark and broken places that reside in every human heart and exist mirrored in nature. Sabbath time invites us to step back, to reflect. It encourages deep humility because we step outside the center of the universe and put our own existence into perspective. Jews believe that on Sabbath day, we are given an extra soul, the neshama yetera, which enables us to more fully appreciate and enjoy the blessings of our life. Even in the midst of great and tremendous suffering, there are blessings to count. I believe, as someone who has seen and experienced great sorrow, there is deep within each human being an unquenchable resilience. This is what Christian writer and monk Thomas Merton refers to in his writing as a hidden wholeness. Buddhists call it a persistent luminosity. I take time each day to remember because I structure my life, because I pretty much forget all that by the end of the day. I forget it every day. So every morning, I start my day remembering. Remembering that wholeness, remembering that luminous spirit of life which is present in all. It helps me hold the totality of life that I lead. It gives me time to grieve, to rage against the injustice of 7-year-olds living with cancer, to argue with the way things are, to fume about something. It connects me with all of you, with life. This past weekend, I found that I had a very difficult time relaxing. Relaxing never comes easily to me. I always fight the initial invitation to slow down. And I often find I can relax more effectively if I'm doing something like walking, biking, swimming. This is especially true when I am feeling stressed and busy. I also find that I resist the quiet times because I resist encountering the emptiness that is also paradoxically part of the hidden wholeness. It is true, when we stop, we do encounter the broken as well as the whole. Anxieties, fears, pain over slights will emerge. And if we are terrified by what we will find in Sabbath moments, we will resist them. We will continue to be busy and fill up our life with doing and consuming. As Wayne Muller reminds us in Sabbath, all life has emptiness at its core. It is the quiet, hollow reed through which the wind of God blows and makes the music that is our life. Without emptiness, we are clogged and unable to give birth to music, love, or kindness. All creation springs from emptiness. Emptiness also provides spaciousness in our lives. As the poet Paul Valéry wrote, God made everything out of nothing, but the nothing shows through. The nothingness from whence we come shines through our lives. It is there in the quiet. As Americans, we are encouraged to avoid the emptiness, to fill it up. I know this spring I have talked numerous times about revolutionary acts and have encouraged you to join me in subversion. Anything that encourages us to jump off the wheel of consumptive behavior is a revolutionary act. And if every day we encounter the truth that we are enough, that we have enough, and that the most important things in life actually don't cost money, then we are involved in subversive living. James Thurber once said that the best thing about being a writer is that when you spend time looking out the window, everyone thinks you're working. The same invitation and challenge exist for all of us. When we stop, when we pause for those Sabbath moments, when we are practicing slotha yoga, we are working to create a different kind of life. We are resisting the values of mass-produced, the mass-imagined life. Sabbath is a revolutionary challenge. Its challenge? Delight in this life. Delight in the gift you have been given, no matter how brief the gift is. You don't need more. There is a divine relationship that invites you, includes you. Focus on that, and we really will have a silent revolution. Some years ago, the Dalai Lama met with Jewish leaders from all over the world. He was concerned about the preservation of the Tibetan spiritual life in the face of their exile from their homeland. He wanted advice from them on creating rituals that could sustain and connect a community in diaspora. He was most interested in learning about a spiritual life that created a sanctuary in time, a life not dependent on a sanctuary in a particular place. The practice of Sabbath moments, and other weekly rituals that bind people to a faith inspired him. I end my daily practice with contemplation, meditation, and prayer. And as I have said numerous times from this pulpit, I end with a prayer for you. I bring six people into my consciousness. People I know are in need. But this year, something interesting has happened. Sometimes there aren't six. Sometimes there are fewer. And I used to just put that aside and come up with six. And that was my discipline. But this year, I actually let it be at the number that I arrived at. Sometimes two, sometimes four. And what I found is that you came into my life. Out of the blue, somebody who hadn't been in church for months, years. And I would accept it as the gift that it was and include you in my prayer. The scary thing, the woo-woo thing, is there was a reason why you came into my prayer life. Because I started asking people, I prayed about you today. And they'd look at me and say, oh. And it was always because there was a reason. This may frighten you, and you may never want to come to church again. you may want to hand in your membership. But I believe that what this tells us is that we are much more connected than we would ever believe. That your pain is my pain, and my pain is your pain. Your joy is shared by this cloud of witness, by these people who gather in community, and that we are one with one another. And that is the spiritual lesson of my spiritual life this year. Spiritual lessons come as surprises of grace and spirit. They come unbidden. This was my gift, and I offer it to you. Before we sing our closing hymn, will you join with me in a Sabbath moment? Will you take 3 deep breaths? your life be woken like a bell, and may the emptiness be the hollow that creates the music of your sound. May it be so.